It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Instead of notifying parents when students are failing, we'll step into a classroom of a teacher in our region who works hard to let parents know when students do well.
She loves us and she wants us to like be good and stay good and have an education so we can move on to the seventh grade.
This is West Virginia Morning. We'll explore the power of positivity. That's coming up. Data on the Ohio Valley's addiction crisis shows that the problem is often more profound and persistent in communities that are economically distressed. As part of the Ohio Valley Resource Series, Working Toward Recovery, Erin Payne visited an Ohio community tackling both problems.
Stand up so I can hear.
Transportation, okay.
Addiction specialists, business leaders, and law enforcement officials joined other community members at Shawnee State University in Portsmouth, Ohio recently to talk about two big challenges, a shrinking economy and a growing addiction crisis. The Appalachian Regional Commission brought them together as part of a listening tour to learn about connections between addiction recovery and economic recovery. ARC Communication Director Wendy Wasserman says a major problem is the epidemic left employers with job openings and a workforce not ready to fill them.
Ready with soft skills, ready with hard skills, ready just psychologically. Employers are spooked. They don't know how to engage and make the best of workers who are eager and ready to go back to work.
Portsmouth in Scioto County along the Ohio River has long been at the epicenter of the opioid epidemic. State records show the county ranked 10th in the state for fatal drug overdose rates from 2012 to 2017, and it regularly ranks in the top 10 for highest unemployment in the state. ARC Federal Co-Chair Tim Thomas says these problems require many solutions, and he believes the people in the room will find them.
If a problem exists in a community, ultimately the solution to that problem will be found in the same community.
Those working on addiction and economic recovery in Scioto County believe they can both prepare workers in recovery and help employers. Two programs aim to build up people struggling with addiction while rebuilding the local economy. Aspiring entrepreneurs pitch business ideas at a recent startup event in Portsmouth. Shawnee State University's Cricker Innovation Hub encourages people to start their own business through events like these. Executive Director David Kilroy says they want to help business-minded people in recovery jumpstart their ideas.
People who are starting businesses and are a part of the recovery community will need resources to make that happen, and perhaps even more so than just the general public. We can leverage this infrastructure.
The Innovation Hub provides access to high-speed internet, an immersive technology lab, mentors, and other resources to help bring products or business ideas to market. Kilroy says his goal is for the recovery community to join them without fear of judgment.
They should feel just as included. The outreach that we do to people that we know who are starting businesses should apply to them as well. It's about making them feel included in this community.
The Innovation Hub builds on skills people already have. Another program works on basic tools to re-enter the workforce. The Hughes Reentry Center, run by the Counseling Center Incorporated, serves people who have committed a crime related to a substance use disorder. They receive addiction treatment, housing, and other services. Administrative Director Nick Ferrara previously worked as a probation officer in the county for 19 years and learned employment is a big obstacle for sustained recovery.
A lot of these guys don't have an education, they don't have a trade, so they're getting back into the community, going back to the same environment that they came from, and the vicious circle continues.
The program works with education and business groups to provide GED classes and job training, including electrical work, plumbing, and maritime deck work. Ferrara says the addiction crisis has so deeply affected the community, people now rally around those previously shunned due to stigma.
If we can get people substance abuse treatment, give them a trade, and actually get them out in the workforce, that can only help the economic recovery, economic development.
Business leaders are realizing addiction recovery and economic recovery can work together, and a community once defined by its fall invests in its rise together. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Erin Payne.
The Ohio Valley Resource is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Dan and Tony never got far from his roots, even though basketball took him away from his home in Mullins, West Virginia, nearly 50 years ago. He continued to be a proud son of the Mountain State while teaching the world about the unique style of basketball that he says came from the courts he grew up on. Eric Douglas sat down with the current head basketball coach at Marshall University, courtside at the Cam Henderson Center.
Long before Dan D'Antoni became the head basketball coach for Marshall University, he got his start playing in Mullins, West Virginia. The family lived close to the former high school and an outdoor basketball court that was frequently filled with players.
I always told somebody you had to shoot real fast because, first of all the courts were uneven, you might lose your dribble, and if you shot it and missed, it'd go down the side of the hill.
He calls it West Virginia basketball. You have to make quick plays and improvise often.
So you learn to go real fast, shoot real quick, and make it, because if not, it'd go down the hill and you'd have to chase it.
He has another term for this style of ball. He calls it hillbilly ball. And while he admits the word hillbilly does have negative connotations for some people, he thinks West Virginians should reclaim it.
First of all, hillbilly was probably coined and defined by people from New York who have no idea what the people in Appalachia and how they live and who they are and the type of people. So, you know, I wanted to change it and give it a good connotation. Look, this is what hillbillies look like. And we put a team out there that's efficient. They're clean-cut young men who carry themselves well, represent the basketball program academically and on the court. And I wanted to give people, this is a new look. This is really what a hillbilly stands for: hardworking, creative, able to accomplish things.
D'Antoni grew up in Mullins while his dad, the late Louis D'Antoni, led the Mullins Running Rebels to a state title in 1955. Basketball was a huge part of his life. He recalls a childhood in the 1950s and 60s where basketball was becoming more important in southern West Virginia and around the country.
Well, I grew up in an environment where Jerry West and Willie Akers and Hal Greer and Leo Bird, basketball was the rage in the towns throughout really southern West Virginia and eastern Kentucky, Indiana, and that type of atmosphere where towns came out to watch games. It was the thing to do on weekdays and weekends.
Louis D'Antoni pushed young kids to get out and play basketball in one of the 5 outdoor courts. He even helped to construct some of the community courts when they were built. The courts became a gathering place for young people and almost a sort of training ground for players that helped Mullins earn 7 state titles.
As a young kid, Mullins was the Hoosiers before the movie. And won a state title from a very small school when there were no classifications. They were runners-up, they were champions, and they were semifinalists, the last one being beaten by West. You know, those were right in my formative years to where, you know what, it was a great, I don't know how, the feeling I had and the passion that it gave me to play basketball. All my life, I guess I've been chasing that to repeat the experience.
Mullins sent 2 players to the NBA, Jerome Anderson and Mike D'Antoni, Dan's brother. Mike now coaches the NBA's Houston Rockets. The D'Antoni family contributed to a foundation that's working to restore the Mullins basketball courts of D'Antoni's youth.
We played constantly there, and hopefully that'll be of use for anyone else, young person coming through, that they can go out and find the same passion we found on that court.
The West Mullins Playground will be dedicated to Louis D'Antoni later this year. Coach D'Antoni said he was proud of his upbringing and hopes, with the style of play he coaches, to get others excited about hillbilly ball as well.
I take away that last little stigma they throw on us sometimes and say, you know what, maybe you ought to change. Maybe I want to be a hillbilly when they see us play.
For West Virginia Morning, I'm Eric Douglas.
Most parents dread getting a phone call from their child's school. Usually it's a sign that something's wrong. But as WFPL's Liz Schlimmer reports, when parents get a call from the classroom of Kenita Ballard, more often than not, it brings a sigh of relief.
Walk into Kenita Ballard's 6th grade language arts class during reading time, and her students are sprawled around the room, their noses in graphic novels, while she picks up the phone.
Hi, sir. This is Miss Ballard. I am Wayne's language arts teacher, and I just wanted to say that I know that reading and writing has been challenging for Wayne, but he's been working so hard.
As Ballard hands him the phone to talk to his dad, Wayne holds back a shy smile. The phone call is a treat, but it's not a special occasion. Ballard makes time every Friday to call her students' families with a positive message. She says it's a policy at Jefferson County Public Schools to call home when a student comes close to failing a class. But when Ballard realized she was telling parents more about their kids' problems than their successes, she decided to change things up.
As soon as I see some type of growth, some type of glimmer, some type of anything positive, I'm going to take that chance to celebrate it.
Ballard teaches language arts at Olmsted Academy North, an all-boys middle school on the south side of Louisville. The school serves a high-needs population. More than two-thirds of the students are economically disadvantaged. Most are Black or Brown, and many have learning disabilities. Ballard says that just means her students need more support.
And it's about seeing all of those good things that the child does and setting them up for success.
Terry Scott is a professor at University of Louisville's College of Education and Human Development. He studies classroom management and positive reinforcement.
Every single time a kid is successful with anything they do in school and is told about it, statistically increases the probability of another success. So, if you really want more successes, you have to build successes.
Scott and his team of researchers study teacher-student interactions at JCPS and around the world, looking for positive and negative feedback.
The evidence for positive feedback is overwhelming.
They found elementary school students hear positive feedback about once every 7.5 minutes.
But it goes down, way down, by middle, and at high school, it's incredibly low. Our research shows that the average kid in a high school classroom hears more negative than positive from a teacher.
That's the average kid. Scott says negative feedback is higher for Black boys, for students with learning disabilities or behavioral disorders, for students like Ms. Ballard's.
What you're describing is somebody doing this systematically, that I'm going to look for these kids doing it right, and I'm going to call their parents on a regular basis and let them know. And I think that's very different and distinct, and I think that's what makes this really important.
Ballard especially tries to encourage her students after they've struggled.
If I had to make a negative phone call, I'm going to find the first thing that I can do to celebrate, because that lets the child again know, A, I'm watching you, I got your back, I see all of you.
So when her student Kamari was suspended for bad behavior in another class, the first day he came back, she picked up her phone.
Hi, ma'am. This is Miss Ballard. I know Kamari just came off of a little issue.
Ballard holds Kamari's hand while she talks to his mom.
Kamari sometimes makes bad choices, but overall, he makes really good choices. I want to celebrate that and highlight that. He came in today, got straight to work, didn't let anything hold him back.
Why do you think Ms. Ballard does this?
Because she loves us and she wants us to like be good and stay good and have an education so we can move on to the seventh grade.
Ballard says no one taught her to do this, but as a language arts teacher, using words to lift up students just made sense.
It's not about just a piece of candy. It's not about getting some type of star. It's about, we are recognizing with our words what you're able to do.
And U of L professor Terry Scott says he hopes more teachers learn her ways, because research shows positivity works. I'm Liz Schlemmer in Louisville.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.